Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up, and welcome to another installment of Ballin' with Drew Ebanks of On Point Basketball, Rory Mitchell of the Mitchell Report Elite, and a special guest who we'll tell you about in just a couple seconds. But Drew and Rory, you guys there, how's your week? And on behalf of myself and everybody here at barnburner.ca, especially On Point Basketball, I'd like to wish all the fans who are listening to this in the United States a happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays, and drive safe. Drew, let's begin with you. How's your week been? And I know the Raptors are on a high.
Yeah, it's the week's been phenomenal, as usual, all over the place, coming from meetings, going here, going there. Raptors doing their thing right now, obviously. Taking on the Knicks, a big matchup, the rematch. Raptors have been playing well, and we love the fact that they're moving the ball. They're playing team-style basketball, and I think all the emphasis on the three-point shooting now, I think they're starting to come around. They're starting to find guys. Guys are getting space. They're getting time to get their shots up. So, I like what they're doing right now. I think they still have to concentrate on their defensive side of the ball, continue to play tough defense, which they have been doing. And again, as we point out, continue to bring toughness. Hit first. Don't get hit first.
All right. And as I mentioned, we have a special guest, Oliver Maroney. Oliver, tell everybody how they can hear you and read you. And welcome on board here to barnburner.ca, On Point Basketball, Ballin'.
Yeah, for sure. You can find me on Twitter at OMaroneyNBA. That's OMaroneyNBA. NBA. I write for Dime Magazine. A lot of people call it Dime on Uprock. So you can find my work there. And certainly happy to be on.
All right. And it's an interesting, well, let's get your perspective. Here in Toronto, we're always clamoring for a championship, but Cleveland gets in our way. But how do people stateside see the Raptors this year?
Look, I'm one of the people who've stuck with the Raptors as one of the best in the Eastern Conference. I feel like, a lot of people, for whatever reason, the hot take, I guess, on Twitter is, DeMar DeRozan isn't a great basketball player because of his statistics or the analytics or whatnot. Point blank, the Toronto Raptors are one of the best teams in the NBA right now. And I think, I don't care what the record says, I know at the end of the season they're going to be in the top four in the Eastern Conference. They're going to be one of the toughest teams to play in the Eastern Conference. And for me personally, I think they have a lot more playoff experience than basically the rest of the Eastern Conference, aside from Cleveland. So I think they've got a very good shot, to push Cleveland, to push Boston, and probably, if you look down the list, I'd say the Milwaukee Bucks are probably the next team on my radar, even though, they're not necessarily in that playoff picture currently. I think they'll get there. But, I love the Toronto Raptors, the way they play basketball. Kyle Lowry, I think, is one of the most underrated point guards in the league. They've got a ton of youth and just role players that I really, really enjoy watching. Norm Powell. You go down, obviously, DeLon Wright, Serge Ibaka. I think they've got a very, very good group of guys on that team. I really like the way they play basketball.
And DeLon Wright, by the way, an update, he'll need surgery on his shoulder. He'll be gone at least a month. Mm-hmm. Now, Oliver, I'm going to ask you, and then we'll go to Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed, and then Drew. Let's talk about the team that everybody's talking about in the NBA this year, the Boston Celtics. Will they ever lose for 2017? Because Kyrie Irving, they were losing to Dallas Mavericks and then had a game and a half in the fourth quarter alone.
Yeah, no, it's they're going to lose at some point. I think obviously the bandwagon will stall at some point, but I think that this team is very well coached. That's the first thing I see. You can talk about Kyrie Irving. I think Al Horford's arguably been their most consistent player on both sides of the basketball throughout the season, and I think he keeps this group together. The way he sets picks, just the way he's able to play defense this year has been remarkable. But Brad Stevens is the constant, and he continues to get the most out of every individual on that team. You've seen it with Isaiah Thomas. You've seen it with guys like Jay Crowder. You can go down the list of guys for the past few years that have been on Boston and just thrived. Look at Evan Turner, who got the big contract in Portland. I mean, there's just a ton of guys like that that come through his system. And I reckon it very similar to what the San Antonio Spurs do. They just increase value for every player that comes through that team. You know, whether it's Isaiah Thomas, whether it's Evan Turner, Jay Crowder, whoever it is, you know that they're going to leave, you know, either leave that city or stay in that city with a boltload of cash. So I like the way that Brad Stevens coaches this team. He gives players the opportunity to make things happen, to make plays, and feel confident with themselves. And you're seeing it with Jaylen Brown, with Jason Tatum. They're explosive. They're very difficult to defend. The versatility is clear and evident. You can see it on both sides of the floor. They are really impressive to me.
All right. Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed. You've been quiet, which is surprising. go ahead. What do you think the Boston Celtics, are you think believe in 2017, rest of 2017, they're going to lose?
They're going to end up losing a game. And judging by my schedule that I have in front of me, I think a couple of options are going to happen here. I could see them losing to a team, and I know Drew would like this one, when they play November 30th against the Philadelphia 76ers, or when they end up playing December 8th against the San Antonio Spurs, at the San Antonio Spurs. That's what I basically think is going to happen with these guys here. Boston's playing phenomenal. You know, they are my pick to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, to go to the also NBA Finals to play against the Golden State Warriors. And that's really all I got to say about that. You know, Kyrie Irving also, too, playing lights-out basketball. And like I said at the beginning of the show that we did for the NBA kickoff, Kyrie Irving, candidate MVP. Let's start those chants.
All right, before Drew, I got to ask Oliver, because these guys have been arguing back and forth over the last couple editions of Ballin. Who do you think is going to win the Rookie of the Year this year? Because Drew says one guy, and Rory says another guy. Oliver, give me your take. Who do you think, who do you believe is going to win the Rookie of the Year?
That's a really tough question. It's a lot tougher than I think people believe it to be. The problem I see coming to fruition is if the Philadelphia 76ers make the playoffs, it's going to be hard not to, you know, keep Ben Simmons out of that conversation. I think he would probably rightfully earn that award. He's played tremendous so far. He's been very impressive. But at the same time, you can't forget that when teams get out of the playoff picture, they tend to lean on younger guys and play them more minutes and see what they have. They really want to analyze, figure out what the core moving forward is going to be. And if the Lakers are out of the playoffs way, you know, early into the season, let's just say they're 55 games in, and they're already eliminated from playoffs, I would not be shocked to see Lonzo Ball play, you know, 35 minutes a night, 34, 33 minutes a night, somewhere in that range where he's just, you know, he's doing what he wants to do. And I think at that point, when he has free reigns and the national media is off of his back, which I think it would be if they're out of the playoffs, there's really no, you know, it's technically meaningless basketball for them. But if he puts up astronomical numbers during that 30-game window, he could, you know, push his stats up. And unfortunately, the Rookie of the Year the past few years has really been about statistics. You know, there's not much being said about, you know, if they're making the playoffs or if they're not. It's very different from what the MVP race is going to be.
Right, Drew?
Yeah, and I echo those thoughts, and that's why my thoughts for Rookie of the Year, I mean, what I see right now is obviously Simmons to be that front runner, and I don't think playoff implications, I don't think how good your team is doing is a full determinant of whether or not the player is going to be selected Rookie of the Year. But it's interesting, Oliver, that you brought up Lonzo Ball. I think a lot of people also are looking at, obviously, Jason Tatum. I felt he should have been the number one overall. Obviously, he's one of the top players. You know, Rory, that's Rory's guy. I think it's going to be Simmons this year. But anything could happen, right? We're still so early. And just like to add on what you guys were saying about Boston, I'm most impressed. And my Coach of the Year pick from our opening NBA tip-off show was Brad Stevens. the fact that the guy is that young, he's such a prodigy in the coaching ranks, but it seems that he has the ability, even when you look back at Butler in college, to bring disparate talents, to bring guys that are not necessarily who you might think can play well together, to get it done and to believe, and to believe in the mentality that they can take on, essentially take on the world. You know, what they're doing, it's almost indescribable because they lost what was supposed to be the key addition to their team. And to think they got over the hump mentally more than physically to know that, hey, we lost our guy that was supposed to be the guy coming in, obviously with Kyrie being number one and then Hayward being 1A or 1B or 2. To lose a guy like Hayward and to still run off, 16 in a row, you just got to give it to them. And I think I'm most impressed. They're at the top of the league, not only team-wise defensively, but about four or five of their guys are in the top ranks in many statistical categories in terms of defense. So very impressed with them. I just want to see the big clashes coming up with the Boston Celtics and some of the top teams to see how they fare.
All right, now let's look at the other side here. The Clippers losing Beverly, that must be a blow. Is Doc Rivers on thin ice here? Because, you know, losing all this, Clippers had a big intention of actually doing something in the playoffs. And Oklahoma, as we tape this today, KD's return to Oklahoma. First, let's start off with Rory. Once again, you've been too quiet, so go ahead. I'll let you talk for 10 seconds. Go ahead. 24-second shot clock.
Well, the Clippers, it's now time to rebuild fully. You may be looking at trading DeAndre Jordan, maybe even trading Blake Griffin, and Doc Rivers. You got to put him on the hot seat right now. I don't want to see him get necessarily fired, but if that's the case, I think he finds a home next year. And as far as OKC is who they say they are. Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, the Eagles, right? All egos got to be aligned. All egos got to be checked at the front door. You know, we know what Carmelo can do. We know what Paul George can do. But it all comes down to the leader, the man that leads that team, your triple-double phenom, your MVP of last year, Russell Westbrook. What can he do to put that collective effort together? And we're not seeing it yet with the 7-9 record. I think OKC is going to turn the dial right after the Christmas break. They should be able to get back to where they need to be. And you know, hopefully contend for a nice playoff spot. And hopefully they want to play one of those top three teams because it's going to get tough.
All right, Drew. And then we'll close it out with Oliver.
For me, I think OKC, I've read a lot the last, few days in terms of, I think the guys, it's hard when you bring guys of that talent, I think, and try to get them to be cohesive right away, and especially coming off the season that Westbrook had. I mean, he was basically everything on that team. And now to try to say, okay, let me take a step back. Let me let Melo find his way in here. Let me let PG, who's like an alpha dog right now in the league. I mean, you essentially have two alpha dogs between Westbrook and Paul George on the team. So it's a bit early to kind of panic, I think, for OKC. They still got a lot of things to work out. The talent is obviously there. It's just a matter of obviously, you know, the chemistry that they need to kind of get straight. I think if they can get the chemistry straight, then things are going to turn around for them. But I think Paul George is a guy that, too, can kind of step up and be more assertive at times. You know what I mean? I think that he can, do what he needs to do and step up a lot more. As for the Clippers, losing Chris Paul, the heart and soul of the squad, I think that's taken a lot out of that team. And then with Beverly going down, I mean, you can't really compare, obviously, guys. Yeah, Beverly to Chris Paul is not going to be the same. It looked at the beginning of the season that Blake Griffin was going to be able to carry this squad, but they're struggling right now. They're not getting it done. So So I think you're going to see some people start to get a little antsy over there in Clipperland. And Oliver, you're out there in the West Coast. What are you getting from those guys and what they're thinking about with the Clippers, what's happening out there in L.A.?
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I think that there is, you know, obviously Doc has done, you know, wonderfully, I think, in the scheme of things, dealing with the egos, putting it together. Obviously the playoff runs have not been superb. You know, you have teams that have three arguably top 25 players or close to that caliber. You should be making the Western Conference Finals, or you should be close to that number year in and year out. They've had some injuries. They've obviously, now they've gotten rid of Chris Paul. I think at this point, when you look at the team and you look at the roster and you look at what they have, they don't have very much. I mean, aside from Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, I think it's very difficult to build your team around those two. I think you have to point in the direction of Blake Griffin because he's shown a capability to play positionless basketball. You know, he can hit the outside shot now. He's shown a capability to hit, you know, mid-range jump shots at a higher clip. I like the way he plays. I like the way he conducts himself. He's been much more mature as a basketball player, I think, in the past year or so. He's grown tremendously. So I think you really look at this and you say, okay, this is time for a rebuild. Like, how do we do it, though? How do we blow it up the right way without making it too impactful? And I think there's a process where you can do a quick rebuild where you get rid of DeAndre Jordan for a first-round pick and maybe a player, you know, that isn't getting enough time or isn't getting enough run. I don't know who that player would be. But you bring in that sort of player with a first-round pick. You already have the Chris Paul first-round pick. I think there, you know, you have multiple first-round picks, but on top of that, you need to pick somebody who's going to be able to draft well. And I don't think, you know, that may be on the general manager more than it is on the coach, Doc Rivers. But quite frankly, I think at this point you have to point in the right direction and go with the youth movement. And you know that Doc Rivers doesn't appreciate that. So I think if you're a front office, you make the move, you find the best offer you can for DeAndre Jordan. You go into the offseason with Doc Rivers technically as your coach. And you let him go at the end of the season and say, look, this is a rebuild. We know you don't want to be involved with that. And then you can let him go. I don't think cutting him in the middle of the season is going to do you any good. You want to save face in that sort of atmosphere, especially because coaches around the league talk to each other. So I think it'd be a bad look on the Clippers if they did so. But, yeah, like I said, I think this smells of a rebuild. I think you've got to build around Blake Griffin, you know, try and retain, keep Patrick Beverley, hope that he comes back and is healthy and fully ready to go. And then you get a few first-round draft picks that you are hopeful and high on and go from there. So that's my 2 cents.
I know Oliver's time is precious and you got to go soon, so I'm going to ask you 2 final questions. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they started the season, they're basically 500, LeBron James and all that. Is there a problem with Cleveland this year, or is it just start of the season early and they'll still be a contender and championship contender throughout the season? And I call Drew Ebanks Captain Canada. You recently did a function with Dylan Brooks there. I want to tell everybody about that also.
Sure, yeah. So I guess actually I totally spaced out about Oklahoma City in that last question. So I'll go 20 seconds on them really quick. I think they will figure it out. This is exactly, I mean, I really compare this similarly to what the Miami Heat were a few years ago when LeBron and Bosch and Wade came together. They were all basically in their primes. They had all been the guy. And adjusting, I don't know if anybody knows, but, you know, just in any sport, no matter what it is, if you mesh, you know, with 2 or 3, you know, top-notch players, it's going to take time to figure each other out and the tendencies and where you go and who takes the last shot and who takes, you know, any shot, really. It's not just the final shot. I think that's overblown, I think, at times. But they need to find a way to play selfishly and unselfishly. It's both, because I think a lot of the times they're overthinking what they're doing to try and help their teammates. They're overthinking every shot. They're analyzing it way too much. And that's what I think is most detrimental to this Oklahoma City team. So I think they'll figure it out. It'll take some time. As far as the Cavaliers, man, I mean, I think there is a real problem with the coaching there. I've said this for a few years now. I thought that the move to move on from David Blatt to Tyronn Lue, I don't think it was handled the best way. I also don't know if I agreed with the move in general. Because if you look at the defensive rating, you look at the numbers, you look at how they play on the floor, I just don't think they've improved that much. I really don't. I think with David Blatt, they would have won the championship. With Tyronn Lue, they would have won the championship. And they would have gone to the finals all the years that they've been in the finals. So I think that there is a real problem there. I think that, you know, obviously LeBron on your team is a very difficult task to manage. I think people downplay that. He's an amazing player. At the same time, he requires the ball in his hands 90% of the time. And, you know, as unselfish and as great of a player he probably would be to play with, I can envision, you know, other players being maybe not upset, but, you know, having a coach on your side is always a good thing. And when he's not on your side or when he's not going to maybe agree or disagree with you, that can cause some problems in the locker room. So I think it comes down to the coach. I don't think it comes down to the players. I think they have to figure out a way to play together, and they need to play better team defense, and that comes down to effort. And when you look at effort, I mean, that's obviously on the players as well, but I think it starts up top with the coach. Moving to the Dylan Brooks thing, yeah, I mean, I helped kind of put it on, I guess you could say. We did a little event here in Portland. He came back into town for the Trailblazers and Trailblazers versus Memphis. And so we had him show up day before, basically. And he came down, I think it was Brick's Tavern is where we got it, and signed autographs, took pictures with everybody that wanted to, totally free. You know, and Dylan's just a stand-up guy, man. He's a real, real nice guy. Anybody that, you know, anybody who's talked to him, you know, they know he's just a great kid. Like, just deep down from the bottom, you know, from the bottom of my heart, at least, he just seems like a very genuine, kind person. I've gotten to know him a little bit over the time, but just, you know, always wants to help out. It was his idea to kind of do this. So, you know, we tried to do as best we could in the time that we got. And, yeah, like I said, I think people enjoyed it. He took pictures with tons of fans, took autographs, did everything. You know, nothing was, like I said, you didn't have to pay for a dime. And you just came in, you got your autograph, you got your picture with him, he chatted with you, he had some fun. So it was great to see. It's always really good to see fans, you know, satisfied, happy, appreciative. And then him, you know, just having a smile on his face and, you know, enjoying it as well. I think it's just, it's a great thing. I mean, it's way bigger than basketball.
I can attest to you. Sorry, Joe. I can attest to his character. Dylan Brooks is an incredible young man. I've been covering him since high school stage. He's just so personable, like you said. I know you got to go, obviously. Just a couple quick questions. Joe, sorry to interject here. What do you think quickly, R.J. Barrett going to Duke, another big Canadian, and today, Simi Chitu signed with Vanderbilt. Not sure how that came about, but they got a pretty strong class, a couple other players there. Just your quick notes on the Canadian players and you see and what you see happening with Canadian basketball.
Well, first of all, I think Canadian basketball is, if it's not, I mean, obviously everybody's already touted it as it's on the rise or whatever you want to call it. I think it's already there. I think it's very on par with the programs in the United States. I got a chance to watch some of the, oh my gosh, I'm going to butcher the name here, but some of the different teams, Orangeville Prep and some other, you know, schools from, you know, Canada in Sacramento last, oh gosh, it was in the spring. And they were playing against some of the top recruits, guys who went to, I get it, Gary Trent Jr. was on one of the teams, a couple other guys, but just impressive, man. I think that the coaching, the understanding of basketball, also just the appreciation and kind of like the grassroots level of it, it seemed to mean a lot more than some of the kids that played here. And I'm not saying that that's a knock on our basketball or whatever, but just seems like there's a different level of appreciation, a different level of camaraderie within the team itself. But, yeah, R.J. Barrett, man. I was kind of you know, selfishly hoping that he would sign with Oregon so I could cover him and get to watch the game. That's pretty much the only reason, I'll be honest. You know, it wasn't like I was necessarily voting for one team or the other or really want to see him go to one team. I want to see whatever's best for him. So as long as he's making the right decision, that's great. But I would have loved to have seen him more often. He's a superb player. All the game film that I've seen on him, he's excellent, man. So versatile, you know, can hit the outside shot, can drive inside, just strong, athletic, you know, everything that you want in a player, he's got. And from what I can tell, he's got, you know, a great attitude, great head on his shoulders. And I think that's something to be kind of, like I said, streamlined throughout Canadian basketball. It's just the smarts, the extra edge, you know, the intensity, whatever. I mean, I've gotten a chance to know, you know, Dylan Ennis, Tyler Ennis, some of the other Canadian guys, and they're just like stand up guys that work their butts off, man. And it's refreshing to see because you don't see it all the time. And I'll be honest, you know, we have so many basketball programs in the United States, and yeah, that's great. But I think a lot of the times people take it for granted. And I know that, you know, I think Canadian basketball doesn't. It just doesn't appear that way, at least. So I love watching anybody from Canadian basketball come down here and play. I love seeing, you know, what the Canadian national team does. I always try and check in on, you know, the Ennis, Team Ennis and stuff like that when I can. But, yeah, you know, crazy. And as far as Shifu, I mean, honestly, that was a great get for Vanderbilt. And they're putting together a class as well, like you said. I think it's going to be very interesting to see in the next couple of years the basketball players and the colleges kind of change. Because you're looking at, you know, Oregon having a number one class, Vanderbilt having a big class now. I don't think it necessarily matters. You know, the bigger schools aren't getting – I mean, they're still getting big-time players. R.J. Barrett obviously talked about him. But I think, you know, there's smaller schools out there or smaller to an extent in the basketball world that are getting these big recruits. And it's really cool to see.
All right, that's Oliver Maroney. Oliver, once again, thank you for joining us. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And tell everybody once again how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, on Twitter, at OMaroneyNBA. You can find all my work there. And, yeah, love the work you guys do. Keep up the great work. And thanks for having me on.
No problem. Great. Our pleasure. Drew, you want to close with Oliver?
Yeah, definitely, Oliver. I want to say thank you. It's been great to connect via social media. It's a great tool. We're going to love to have you on throughout the season, especially with what's happening over there in that West Coast. You got a couple other Canadians there. Abu Kigab is there, as well as Mikhail McIntosh, who I know really well. So, yeah, we're going to come back to you during the season. We want to get the lowdown on what's happening with those Ducks, man. It's going to be a great season, and to see what they built there, Coach, as well, Altman, congratulations to him on, win number 600. I've had a chance to meet him as well. A great, great, great coach. You know, Mike Menenga, another guy that's phenomenal. So we're going to touch base with you throughout the season, Oliver, if you'll give us this time. And Rory, sorry we're keeping you, you know, a little quiet tonight, but you're back in. But we just wanted to say thank you, Oliver, for coming on the show.
Oh, anytime, guys, anytime. And I know how good the coaches are over here. Mike doesn't, you know, Mike's great, man. Menega is, he's one of the best.
Definitely. Thanks a lot, man.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Oliver. Okay, so let's get to, you know, it's Thanksgiving. And NHL, everybody says, you know, it's Thanksgiving. Then we'll see who makes the playoffs or who has a good and they try to make trades or whatever. But in the NBA, they started the season about 2 weeks earlier. Now let me go to Rory since he's been very quiet. Rory, do you think it has an effect on certain teams that they started earlier the season?
No. This is basketball. I mean, this is what we're doing here. We're here to play the game. You know, it doesn't matter if the season starts 2 weeks later or if it started a month later, you know what I mean? This is what these guys get paid to do. They're athletes, you know, and it's time for them to kind of say, look, we got an extended part of our season. We start the season when it's scheduled to be done. So, you know, where can we go wrong? I think the only thing it hinders is the teams that are slowing the game, coming out in the game, should I say, and they're slowing things down. Like, you look at guys like Cleveland, you know what I mean? Cleveland's struggling and whatnot. But then you got the youth movement over in Boston, led by Kyrie Irving, right? Kyrie Irving's doing his thing, you know? He's showing that he's got a true leader mechanics and mechanisms into his play setting there. So, really, the season could have started a month ago. It could have started, you know, 2 months ago. It doesn't really matter, to be honest, there, Joe.
All right, Drew, what do you say?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you guys are paid. I think there was always whispers, and not even whispers. Guys were complaining over the years that, the, you know, preseason was too long. You know, there's too many games. And when you add in the regular season of 82, then you add in, you know, some of the guys were playing a couple dozen playoff games. It became, a burden, I think, for some of the players. So I think for them, like we pointed out earlier, when you looked on the social media, you saw guys actually playing throughout the summer, whether it was, you know, guys like DeMar DeRozan playing in the Drew League, whether it was, guys like James Harden, Kevin Durant playing pickup basketball, you know, even Canadian Xavier Rattan Mays playing pickup basketball, high-level pickup basketball as well. Guys were in shape. I think guys take the game a lot more seriously and know that you can't just come into every season the same as you were the season before. You have to continuously improve, especially the guys that aren't on those big guaranteed supermax or max contracts. Those guys know there's a good few hundred players waiting to take their place. So, you know, even if you're in the league, you got to think, hey, there's a guy gunning for me. And if I mess up or if I don't have a contract that goes beyond 1 or 2 years, I could literally be out of the league right after that. So I'm seeing this. I'm seeing guys training. There's so much summer ball now. I mean, even in Toronto, you've got the Crown League. We had the All-Point Co-Am. We started our first year, which we're going to expand on as well. Guys want to come back to their cities, whether it's Toronto, whether it's L.A., whether it's New York, Washington, the guys want to come back to their towns and play basketball during the summer. They don't want to have to go to another city. That used to happen, especially in Toronto. That used to happen where there wasn't much summer ball. Guys had to play or stay in their schools in the NCAA or stay overseas. So I think the proliferation and the plethora of summer options now, I think, actually renders the fact that the season started earlier a moot point.
All right. Before we get to our final segment of Canadian basketball, we mentioned this last week. Rory has been very, very quiet this week, but now it's time for Rory to talk, since it's already Thanksgiving in the States, Black Friday coming up this week. A lot of video game fans are going to be balling with NBA 2K18, NBA Live 18. I just kicked Rory's butt in NBA 2K. So, Rory, give me your thoughts on which game people should go out and buy. There's Black Friday's deals for everything, but let's talk about NBA Live. Let's talk about NBA 2K. The floor is yours.
All right, so I'm going to start with the first honorable mention, actually, and I mentioned this to Joe off-air. I wanted to talk about NBA Playgrounds first. This is honorable mention. For all my, Thanksgiving over in the States, everybody that's doing stuff, you know, with Christmas holidays coming up and whatnot, you know, families are going to be getting together. Everybody's going to be hanging out and whatnot. If you have a gaming console, I suggest you pick up NBA Playgrounds. Going to be about what, $20 American, I believe $30 Canadian. If you can pick it up for Black Friday, it'd be nice. It's like NBA Jam. You pick all, great players and whatnot from the respectable teams. There's been a little bit of backlash where some people said that they should have had other players, like, say, for instance, where's like Jordan? Where's those guys in the game? You know what I mean? But the thing is, what it comes down is to their likeness. So that's an honorable mention. As far as going with NBA Live and going with NBA 2K, I'm going to start with 2K first. NBA 2K, cover athletes. If you live in the States, you're getting the Kyrie Irving edition. If you live in Canada, you're getting the DeMar DeRozan edition. And I believe you're supposed to get a free downloadable gift with that also, too, depending on whatever store you go to. I'm a big fan of NBA 2K18. I know a lot of my online friends, a lot of my buddies, we play a thing called My Career. Now, what that is that you create a player. You have to choose from two likenesses. Say, for instance, lockdown defender or like a three-point shooter, depending on how you want to really, really submerge yourself and get into it, judging by how you want to play. You go through the ranks and whatnot. You play a couple of pickup games in the park. And then what ends up happening, you end up getting drafted to your respectable team. It's a little different from current years because this time you just pick the team and you just basically have to walk onto the court. You play as a walk-on and then you get, you know, cemented onto the team and you got to work your way through the minutes and stuff like that also too. My biggest thing with NBA 2K18 though is, you know, it's starting to kind of drag a little bit. You know, it looks great presentation-wise. It's a little different from NBA Live, which is what I'm going to get into. But, you know, 2K is the head honcho. You know, it's the real McCoy. It is the Mac Daddy. And I suggest, you know, if you have a PS4, if you have an Xbox One or an Xbox One X, pick up NBA 2K18. But I will get into NBA Live. NBA Live, great game also, too. They've had many, many years where they've been trying to get it correct, and I think they're in the right direction right now. Their presentation by getting, I know I don't want to hype up another brand on this, but they cemented ESPN in there. Now, they also have their career mode for a single player where it's called The One. So you create a street baller, and then you have to go through the ranks with Rucker Park, all those legendary basketball courts. In the East Coast there. And what ends up happening is, you know, they do a split screen between Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman, where they actually made it intriguing enough where they actually took their likenesses and made it cemented in like a real life segment. But besides the point there, me personally, I like the way the game looks. Does it play better than 2K? No, it doesn't, because my biggest gripe about it is that there's too many blocks. Like, you could sit there and free roam with LeBron and just basically just slap anything off the backboard at any given time. But president-wise, the way it looks, graphically, it's amazing. But if you are a gamer and you like basketball and you like authenticity, I hopefully said that right, I will tell you guys right now, pick up NBA 2K18, Black Friday deals, going into the holiday season. And I will also be able to give you guys some information here, too. I have both PS4 and I have both Xbox One, I will announce my gamer tag on the ending of this show of how you guys can get in contact with me, myself, or even Joseph Pasek there, probably play one of us also as a kind of a give back to the team.
Wait, hold on. What about Drew Ebanks, Captain Canada? Why, you don't want to play with Captain Canada?
Well, Drew Ebanks, here's the thing about Drew. I think Drew is a little bit too busy. I don't even think Drew's got a gaming
I'm busy. I'm doing 45 shows. Look, Drew Ebanks. Drew Ebanks, actually, he's balling. He's playing the games. You're just scared of, because you already lost to me on NBA Live by 20 points. You're scared of losing also to Drew Ebanks.
Okay, so hold on. Hold on real quick. So I'm going to put this out to the atmosphere to everybody here because I'm going to let the cat out the bag. Now, how are you supposed to play NBA Live when there's no multiplayer?
There's no multiplayer?
There's no multiplayer, Joe. Listen, you're gonna get your beatings when we play NBA 2K18, and I'll let you. Pick
hold
my
on, are you gonna give me a NBA 2K18 for Thanksgiving? Since you're on Barn Burner here, come on.
Our
I'm gonna call you out. Yes or no?
no, I will not be getting you a game. I've already got you two games already. What are you talking about?
You got me one game. You got me one game. I paid for the other game. Yeah, come
and
on.
You have the console that I got you for you also, too.
All right. Fine. It's so cheap, you can't even spend $30 to get me another game. Come on. And by the way, Drew, you don't get out lightly here. Did you get my Raptors 905 ring yet?
Nah, we're working on it, brother. I keep telling you, we've been working on it
since the first game, already a month into the season. Drew. I expect better from you, from Woj from Canada.
I'll be working on it. I'm going to try to hook it up, definitely. And you guys made some great points. I mean, I don't have much time to play games, but I'm gonna make a special effort to get back, get my gaming back. Hopefully, first off, I can get a console and I can start, showing what I can do, because I showed what I can do already on the court. Now I got to show what I can do
okay.
in the virtual world.
Hold on. Okay, I'm gonna put this out in the atmosphere.
Okay,
unless you play 2K, you probably play a lot of computer defense, which it's okay if you can do that. And on the court, listen, you playing all this basketball on the court. You don't even invite your boy. You don't even invite Rory to the ball courts, man. What's going on?
He's embarrassed of you. Come on, he's embarrassed of you.
Okay,
to the Mitchell Report on these. That's it.
Now I know. Definitely, I know who it is. I know you got game, Rory. We're gonna get you on the court soon, man. Either down in London or we're gonna get you on the court down here in the six. Joe, I got a question for you, man. Last week we brought up the contest for the On Point Socks.
We're gonna actually continue that for one more week. We're actually gonna continue because I have to pull up the socks, so that's why. We're gonna continue it for one more week. So next week's show we'll be picking a winner of the On Point Socks, and I just gotta finish off with this, and then we'll go to you, Drew. So Rory, give me a rating from 1 to 10 of NBA Live and NBA 2K. 1 to 10, quickly.
Sheesh. NBA Live, I'm going to give a 7. And NBA 2K18, I'm going to give an 8.5. And NBA Playgrounds, just because of fun factor, just fun factor alone, it's very cartoonish also, too. I want to put that out there. I'm going to give that a 10 just on the fun factor if you're a fan of NBA Jam.
All right, so now we're going to go to Captain Canada, the Woj of Canada, Drew Ebanks, On Point Basketball. We're going to talk about your coming up, the On Point TV show, but let's talk about some Canadian basketball players. You talked about some with Oliver, but let's close it out. And I know you're going to visit Rory, and I'm sorry once again, December 8th, I believe, you're going to London with...
9th,
December 9th. You're going to London to visit Rory and see the London Lightning. So hopefully Rory can give you a good Christmas present then.
Yeah, we'll see what he comes up with. I'm not going to cross my fingers. I'm not going to hold my breath. But we'll see.
Hold on. Rory, I was talking to Sana, and Sana told me Drew Ebanks needs either a new gaming system or a new phone. So there you go.
I feel like you guys are really running out of extortion services on me. Eh? Like, what do you guys think I'm made out of? Money? Gold?
You're rich. You're the Mitch. You're the king of the Mitchell Report Unleashed. Very successful.
There you go.
I appreciate that, Joe. I'm not rich.
Behind Barn Burner and On Point, Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed, right, Drew?
All right. Well, we'll see if he can back us. Just to close out, obviously. Big, big, big things happening. The Canadian senior men have a couple games coming up. They play Friday against the Bahamas in Halifax. Right now, they're all down there. Head coach Roy Rana is in the mix. These are some of the guys that are on the squad right now, made up of non-NBA guys, some D-League guys as well, and some NBL guys. Joel Anthony, obviously we know him from Miami Heat. Anthony Bennett, he's currently with the Phoenix Suns and their D-League affiliate. Brandy Glaze, a great player, 6'7", big man. Olivier Hanlon, who's been doing well with the Austin Spurs in the G-League. We go down the line, Brady Heslip, the sharpshooter, playing at Trabzonspor in Turkey right now. Keza, Jimmy Keen. Keza, I know him well. Ajax, he's playing for the 905 of the G League. Owen Klassen is playing for PAOK of Greece. Deshaun Pierre, playing for Banco di Cerd in Italy. He's a Whitby native. Obviously, Xavier Rattan-Mays, who was just in Toronto playing for the Westchester Knicks of the G League. He's doing pretty well over there. Phil and Thomas Scrub from the Carlton Ravens. They're on the squad. And Mark Trattolini, 6'9", big man, playing in Japan for Hokkaido right now. As we mentioned, Roy Rana, the head coach. Michael Meeks, the big man coach, doing it all for Canada basketball from the youth ranks all the way up. He's on the squad. Jack Sigma, ex-NBA player, is on the coaching staff, as well as Dave Smart and Nate Mitchell, one of Canada's up-and-coming coaches. He coaches on the 905 team, and add in a guy like James DePoe, who's one of the main guys at Humber, for the Humber program over there. So they've got an interesting time. They got a game against Bahamas, as I mentioned, on Friday. That's November 24th. And my photographer, our on-point photographer, Ronnie Meck, Real Motion Imaging, is down there, and he's working on behalf of FIBA right now. He's actually doing some video. He's having a great time out there. And on the 27th, which is Monday, Canada goes to the Dominican Republic to take on the DR. And just quickly to close out, a big game coming up for Canadian women's basketball. Kia Nurse returns home, guys.
Nice. Formerly Maple Leaf Gardens. Come on.
There you go. She's going to be at the Mattamy Athletic Center with UConn, the incredible squad that they have, taking on Duquesne Friday, December 22nd at 7 p.m. Tickets are going fast, so go to mattamyathleticcenter.ca. Get out there and support Canadian basketball. Kia Nurse from Hamilton, though, but she's coming back to the sticks, so she's coming home.
And I'm actually going to be at that game.
I will be there, too, and hopefully Warriors.
I don't want to see you. I'll collect my Christmas present then, all right? All right.
Hopefully I'll have your ring by then.
Yeah, you better have my ring by then. All right, this has been another outstanding episode of Ballin, brought to you by barnburner.ca, On Point Basketball, with Drew Ebanks. Drew, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Instagram, On Point Basketball, at On Point Basketball. OnPointBasketball.com is our website. You can catch a lot of great content. We're increasing the features and doing some amazing stuff these days on the site. And on YouTube, it's On Point Basketball, as well as Facebook. You can catch us there.
And when is the TV show? When is the TV show? Because Rory wants to be on that TV show. I say don't put Rory on because your ratings will not go up. But anyways, when is the launch of the TV show? Come on.
Yeah, All Point, the show, we're going to drop our first segment, our first feature, which is the NBA Nike X NBA feature with a new deal with Nike and the NBA, the National Basketball Association. You're going to love that feature, and we have more coming up after that. But there's something really special, an incredible interaction that I had there. So you guys check it out when it comes out. But, yeah, the show is going to be fire, guys. That's all I can say. I'm not going to say anything more. It's going to, as we say, change the game.
All right, Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed Season 2. What episode are we at?
I don't even know what episode I'm at. 60, going on 63 or 64.
All right, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you. And I got one final question for both of you.
Yeah, real quick before I even give my Twitter handle. Also, NBA 2K18, my rude self forgot to tell you guys about this. NBA 2K TV featuring Rachel Demita. She covers all NBA access on the NBA 2K. And they also do uploading of videos for all your creative players and stuff like that. The Twitter handle is Rory EGN. And we are officially back to talk hoops. That was kind of on a hiatus. Sorry, guys.
And tell everybody your gamer tag.
Oh yes. Okay. All right. This is gonna be a hard one to follow, but I'm gonna make sure I write it in my I'm gonna put it in my bio also too. The gamer tag is OVO Hibachi. okay? OVO Space Hibachi. The OVO represents Drake, and Hibachi is the hottest grill to cook on if you've ever been to Japanese restaurants. Drew Ebank, have you ever been to a Japanese restaurant?
I have. I love my sushi, man. Are you taking me out to dinner? If you are, let me know, man. I'm down.
All right, I got one final. I know this is basketball balling, but this Sunday, Canadian football has their championship game, the Grey Cup. Hey, Drew, you know my balls are bigger, right? Anyways, the Toronto Argonauts, Calgary Stampeders, Rory, who you got?
Well, I said on the other show there, my heart says Toronto, but my mind says Calgary, and I'm going to go with Calgary.
All right, Drew, you're Captain Canada for basketball. I know you're out of your realm talking football, but go ahead. Grey Cup, Argos, or Stampeders?
Well, you know, the thing is with me, all I can think of when I think of the Argos is my man, Mike Pinball Clemens. And I'll tell you, I saw him a couple weeks ago, got a chance to say hi and stuff. So I can't go against the six, man. They're going to get it again. The last Grey Cup was against the Stampeders.
Yes, it was. 2012, they beat Calgary in the Rogers Center or Skydome. 35-22. So they're going to repeat.
The Argos are taking it, man. You know, they have
all right. When Calgary wins, you better give me my ring. You go to Raptors 9-5 and you pay, you get me my ring. That's the bet here. But again, this has been another edition of Ballin' here on barnburner.ca, brought to you by On Point Basketball with Drew Ebanks and Rory Mitchell. Happy Thanksgiving if you're listening in the States, and be safe, and don't eat Rory's chicken leg or turkey leg or whatever. But thanks a lot, guys, and keep balling.
Thank you.